We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life,
call his wife and hey, how we doing? 4:03, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 4 o'clock on this Thursday morning, the day after the New York Mets embarrassed the New York Yankees on every level and just absolutely dominated, and it's never been more clear in this stretch. And this is my take from it. I tweeted this. This is what I feel like watching the games. This has been an ugly, disastrous 6 weeks of New York Yankee baseball. Some of the worst we've seen, and we've seen stretches of really bad baseball. So certainly almost all of last year after Judge's toe injury. 2021 was really ugly. The second half of 2022 was really ugly. This is about as ugly, considering how good they were, considering Juan Soto is still a part of this team, him and Judge both healthy, having monster years. Like, it's just the starting rotation was as good as any in baseball. They had that long stretch of not going, you know, going at least five innings or more than four, and like all these starts. Like, it was just, it was too good to be true, and clearly it was. But still, like, the idea they played this poorly for this long is unbelievable. And despite all of it, despite losing all of these series, despite being swept by the Reds, despite, you know, losing to Baltimore, even the series they win, they fall down in the final game. They still can't get over them falling down. All of it, as ugly as it's ever gotten, and at any point over the 6 weeks, nobody, there's not another team they have played, there's not another moment. The Red Sox have kicked their ass, 9 steals in a game, embarrassed them, all of it. Nothing has been more embarrassing. Nothing has been more of an obvious, we're better than you. No one has rubbed the Yankees' face in it as much as the New York Mets. The New York Mets in these 4 games, not just last night where they teed off on their ace. And that's the other thing about this series, beat both of their best 2 starting pitchers. Now, Heal was okay, and they only lost 3-2, but still, the Yankees went into this series at home, coming off a good victory against Tampa Bay, where they checked a lot of boxes, and we saw a good performance from Rodon, saw a bunch of Volpe get a couple of hits, Torres, Verdugo, LeMahieu hit a home run. A lot of different things happened positive for the Yankees leading into these series, these 2 games against the Mets. They had 2 best starting pitchers on the mound against not Severino, the Mets' best starting pitcher, against 2 lefties who have been up and down this year. The pitching matchups were in the Yankees' favor at home, and they got absolutely embarrassed. And last night was so clear. It jumps off the page, the difference in the offenses. Watching the Mets' offense top to bottom, and then watching the Yankees and their inability to come through in any situation. The numbers, they are 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position last night, 4-for-40 or something ridiculous in the 4-game series. Just absolutely beaten in every way, shape, and form. Every way, shape, and form. And it was ugly in every which way. Whether it's the lineup that everybody hates that Boone put forth, whether it's, watching Jeff McNeil hurt them, who, yes, he's been hot, but he's had a miserable season. Watching bottom of the lineup guys like Taylor, who weren't even in the original lineup, dominate them. Watching Judge get walked 4 times and then get struck out by arguably the Mets' worst reliever when they brought him in to close the game because Diaz wasn't available. Every aspect of these 4 games, and particularly these last 2, just shout, one team has a lineup, one team has a hope, one team looks like a real threat to actually accomplish something, and the other looks like they're a disaster on fumes waiting for saviors to come on July 30th, and I don't know if they are. And whether it's Gerrit Cole. And obviously the manager is always a talking point, and what he says after the game is always a talking point. And a lot of people want blood, and a lot of people want the manager fired. And I am not one of them, but how could I argue? If we find out in 12 hours, if I wake up to listen to Tiki and Evan, and Evan and Tiki, excuse me, that's what happens when you leave me out of your book. If I wake up to Evan and Tiki and the news is that Aaron Boone's been fired, who could argue? Because I don't blame him for this crap. I don't. I don't blame him for this putrid lineup. I don't even, like, I'm mad about the other day's lineup. But again, it's hard to blame the manager when he's given this garbage and then yell about what order he puts the garbage in. It's tough for me to blame that guy when this is much more of a Brian Cashman issue than it is an Aaron Boone issue. But when it comes down to it, it's the manager's job to get the best out of his players. And whether it's his fault or not, he's certainly not helping. And I don't care so much about some of the minutia that other people care about. I don't care whether or not he goes on television and does a mid-game interview and says, yeah, you know, the fastball looks good, when we know it doesn't. I don't care that he doesn't crush his players when we know he won't. I don't care that he even says at the end of the game that he was happy to see everybody together up on the top step, excited to still be involved in the game and cheering on their teammates and they're connected. It sounds ridiculous after getting their ass kicked. It does. But you know what? The broadcast said the same thing. I don't think anybody thinks that Eduardo Rodriguez or David Cohn are ridiculous. They said the same thing, but who cares? None of it matters. All that matters is the play on the field and whether or not you think firing Aaron Boone could provide a spark for this team. The fact of the matter is the team that they have right now is trash, and they're getting guys back, and the deadline is in a couple of days. And the team they have right now will not be the team we see in a week. And we're going to have to find out whether the team we see in a week is going to be good enough to change what's gone on here. And the saving grace is the Baltimore Orioles can't seem to figure it out either. They've lost the first two of the three-game set against Miami. The Yankees are still a game and a half out of first place. The Red Sox, who they're going to go take on next, who's right behind them in the wild card, just gave up 20 to Colorado. The Yankees are still in it, despite as ugly as it's gotten. But never more ugly than playing the New York Mets, where you see Lindor becoming an MVP candidate. You're getting guys who you would have never expected having career years. Iglesias is having a career year. Vientos, who the Met fan was so pleased that J.D. Martinez came and he could send down to the minors, is absolutely killing it. Guys like Taylor are killing it. Bader, before getting injured, having a career year, hitting 270. Up and down the lineup, and then you have the OMG stuff and all the different vibes around this team. The question now is no longer, are they going to sell? The question is, no, that's ridiculous. The question is even no longer, are they going to buy? The question is, at what level are they going to buy? How aggressive are they going to be? Because up until a few days ago, maybe the thought was, hey, they need some help in the bullpen, but you don't have to go crazy. Just get me some legitimate arms. Right now, we don't have legitimate arms. Get me somebody who's a decent reliever. I'll trade a middling prospect for a middling reliever. That's what we wanted. But honestly, looking at this team now, looking at that lineup, absolutely pound Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees, maybe they're better than that. Maybe there's something special going on here. And when there is, you don't do anything other than run towards it. I know the plan, and I understand where they've been with their farm system and where they're trying to go with their farm system, and I understand about sustained winning, and I understand all of that. But when special jumps up and hits you in the face, you can't ignore it. And it's starting to feel like that. And I know they only have a couple of days, but if this series against Atlanta goes the Mets' way, if they go out there and do the same thing to the Braves they just did to the Yankees, how do you not go out there and be willing to trade prospects that you have no idea how good they'll be to try and bolster a team that is showing you every day that they're as good as anybody, and this lineup certainly is as good as anybody, and that maybe, just maybe, special things are happening. Senga's coming back. Could be an interesting time for the Mets as we get to the deadline. Obviously, the Yankees are looking to save their season. At what level do the Mets look to improve their season? 888-808-1019. Back to the calls. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
It could be better. I turned the game off yesterday when I saw it was 3-2. I'm like, oh, I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends, you know, giving up a couple of home runs. I could see Colvin and have it. And to be honest with you, they don't even deserve to be called the Yankees right now. They should be called the New York Stankies because they give off a stink, you know. And also, what Pedro Martinez has said, you know, to the Yankees from the Red Sox, he's called the Mets our daddies lately because we just can't beat them.
No, certainly not this year. They can't beat them. And Gerrit Cole in particular needs to call them their daddies. He can't beat the Red Sox. He can't beat the Mets. And he had nothing last night. And for me, Cole's number one in last night. I know the offense didn't do anything yet again. I know Judge didn't do anything. I know the lineup still looked as awful as it has every other day this six-week stretch. But they needed Gerrit Cole to step up last night. Last night was an enormous victory to just stem the tide and not get swept by the Mets and not have this feeling of just ineptitude and just take a split. And try and tell yourselves, hey, we're 500 coming out of the All-Star break. We split a four-game set. We split a two-game set. All right, 500's not great. It's certainly not where we want to be, but it's better than 12 games under 500 we've been. Our ace looks good again. Soto is hitting a little bit. Maybe there would have been some way of feeling good about things on some level, and instead, he absolutely spit the bit. He kept throwing these cutters that were going nowhere other than over the fence. It was an embarrassing performance from an ace who makes $326 million, who won the Cy Young last year in a year where they were never in it. I love Cole, but let's be fair, and I'm trying to build a team around him because I want, with Cole's prime and Judge's prime, they got to win a championship. And certainly with Soto on the team, you add that level to it, yeah. But we got to be fair, right? Cole had a miserable 21, spit the bit in the 21 wildcard game. 2022, great, good in the postseason, good. He was good in the postseason in 2020 as well, so I'll give him that. But last year was his greatest year, and it was when the Yankees were awful. And now this season is spiraling out of control. They're about to get swept by the Mets in Yankee Stadium. Team floundering. You know they have no offense, and he gives you that kind of performance after they give him the lead twice? After he gets the lead twice? It's an unacceptable performance from Cole. Unacceptable. And I understand he's coming back, but he's made enough starts. He's been fully built up. He can throw 100-some-odd pitches. There's no excuse. No excuse. Gene and Danbury. What's up, Dean?
Hey, this is like painful to watch, and I'm just wondering, is Hal Steinbrenner watching his team play?
I'm sure
and
he is. Yeah.
Why isn't he having? We need an owner who's going to react like his dad did, because this would have been nipped in the bud. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I think if George was here, this would have not spiraled to this level. And I'm just wondering what Hal is watching and why he's not reacting and having more of a sense of urgency. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. These men are making so much money, and they're supposed to be the best in the world to do their job, and they're playing like minor leaguers. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, my team don't even fall down. It's ridiculous, and it's frustrating to watch.
No, of course, but I mean, you've hit upon a little bit of an annoyance for me, though. The George stuff does drive me crazy. Because, like, I just, we're all, obviously we're frustrated. And, yeah, there need to be some sense of urgency. But the idea, would George have fired Aaron Boone by now? 100%. Everybody, oh, if George were here, if George was still around, Heads would roll, baby. We would wake up tomorrow morning and Boone would be fired. Absolutely true. 100% accurate. Boone would be fired if he wasn't already. Boone would have been fired. He would be fired this morning. But here's my point. Did that work? Like, we talk about it like it worked for the New York Yankees, because I know we forget, but from 1979 to 1995, in those 16 years, the Yankees had 17 managers. 17. Now, Billy Martin was the same guy over, but I mean, 17 stints of a manager. Hirings and firings. 17 over the course of 16 years. How did it go? Did it work? Was it successful? You just want blood. I get it. And maybe a spark would work. I'm not saying it absolutely wouldn't. But the idea of the whole Steinbrenner, oh, if George were here, heads would have rolled and the organization has lost its urgency. Yeah, the organization hasn't done anything like this since George was sent away and the dynasty was built. That's the last time. That's the last time. I don't want to hear this entire, oh, the Hal isn't like his father. No, not necessarily he's not. That's true. But we have this false memory of how it went when George was hovering over and making all the decisions and firing everybody. It didn't work out well. It ended up being a disaster in the early 90s. Watch the documentary of the 1990 Yankees. It's on Peacock. Go watch it. Go watch Yankee Stadium erupt in applause when George Steinbrenner was given the lifetime ban. That ultimately wasn't a lifetime ban. But watch the applause. Watch the entire crowd erupt in applause. I'm not trying to knock the man. I love George Steinbrenner. Love him. One of the great owners, should be in the Hall of Fame. But let's not act like the impulsive nature of George Steinbrenner was some sort of cure-all that fixed all the problems of the New York Yankees. Because it didn't. It didn't. Because not only would Boone possibly be fired, but Aaron Judge might be playing for another team because he might have been traded for a closer. I'm not trying to knock him, but I can't take this if George were here crap. I hate it. It drives me absolutely up a wall. It has no meaning in what's going on. None. I don't disagree. Boone would be fired. You can't have that performance against the Mets in this free fall. There's no doubt. Fired. He would have been fired. If he hadn't been fired already. If he hadn't been given a new contract. I doubt he probably would have got another contract. He would have been gone 3 years ago. And maybe that would have benefited the Yankees. I'm open to that. I in no way am I saying Boone's the greatest manager of all time and you'd be an idiot to fire him. I don't care. I don't care about Boone. I care about the Yankees and winning. And if I thought it could spark this garbage, then I would be all for it. I don't think it will. And right before the trade deadline, I just don't know what the team's going to be. The team's going to be different in a week. Let that team play out. I'm not considering firing Boone until they fall out of playoff contention. If they fall out of playoff contention, then it's really on the table for me. Until then, I'm probably not firing him, and especially knowing that the team's going to be different in a week. Let's see how that team responds. He's the same manager that led them to 50-20. I know nobody cares, nobody wants to hear it, but it's true. This same group. The same team that we watch before us, that he's arguing about, you know, how long, like they asked him, how long do you think, well, do you still want to call it a streak? Or like, it doesn't matter. This is who they are. It's 6 weeks. We're past the idea of calling it some sort of slide or slump or streak or stretch or whatever. This is who they are now. But they were also the best team in baseball for 2.5 months with the same guys, the same manager. It's his job to get the best out of the players. For half the season he did, for half the season he hasn't. The team's going to change. Guys are coming back, and they're going to make trades at the deadline. Let's see what happens. And if this continues, at some point, of course I'm open to firing him. He's on the last year of his contract. He's not going to come back no matter what happens if they start losing. But just don't give me this George Steinbrenner and the organization has lost its way and the accountability is gone, because he had 17 managers in 16 years. He fired Yogi Berra 18 games into a season. He fired everybody for no reason, kept bringing back Billy Martin, firing him. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. Until he was forced to leave and they built it around him without him. And then he fired Buck and wanted to bring Buck back. And luckily, Joe Torre was the perfect fit. Dan in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. Everything.
Couldn't agree more. I'm with you. There's nothing to say. You're right. It's a perfect analogy of what's going on here. There's nothing to say. You can start to talk, but really, whatever words come out of your mouth next are meaningless. The team sucks. But I think he was going to talk about Mendoza. And it's, listen, I'll be honest, right now, right now, it feels like the better manager is in Queens, and he came from the Yankee organization. And he was the bench coach who was a little bit fiery, right? The reputation, what we've heard, is that he's the guy who lit into Glaber when he needed to be talked to. And now he's over there with the Mets, stem the tide, and now look what he's getting from them. But what I would tell you is, like, they're better. They're better. Which team is better? Looking at the lineup, they showed the graphic on the broadcast all game long. There are three guys with an OPS above average Major League Baseball players on the Yankees, and there are seven with the Mets. The Mets have the most in Major League Baseball. The Yankees have like the third fewest. That's the difference. Top to bottom, the Mets have hitters who are playing great. Now, same thing with Mendoza, right? For the first beginning of the season, they weren't. The offense was the main cause. The offense was the albatross around their neck. And now he's got them playing great. Was it his fault at the beginning? And now but it's frustrating watching him. I know like people like to bring up Rob Thompson. He's doing a great job. Philadelphia's the best team in baseball. They've been to a World Series. Two managers from underneath Boone inside the Yankees organization who had been there forever are now having much more what short, albeit brief, but far more what seems like impressive starts, although Boone's starts were pretty good. He won 100 games his first 2 years, but no one cares about that. There's Dan in Belmar's back. Let's try again, Dan.
Hey, sorry, C-Mac, I lost you there.
You got it. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about real quick about Mendoza, how I think, you know, he's really been pushing all the right buttons. He never really hit the panic button 11 games under 500. He was able to make those lineup changes with, you know, moving Lindor to the leadoff.
Yeah, changed everything, 100%, yep.
It did. It changed the dynamic of the team. And like I said, he gives, you know, with the New York media, you're getting tough questions every night. Every move is going to be judged. And, you know, even if I don't agree with every move that he makes, he always gives an insightful answer of why he thought that was the best move at the right time, which I could appreciate instead of getting fed, you know, BS like some of these guys do. And, you know, I had a feeling that he was going to be good because he was moving along in the Yankees organization. It felt like Boone, I think they promoted him to bench coach maybe in his last year with the Yankees. Yeah. So it felt like, you know, the Mets finally made a good hire there. Excited to see what Stearns is going to do with his first trade deadline. I don't know about you, but I don't foresee them making a big splash. I think they'll maybe add a reliever.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, that's the question, man. For me, now that's the question about the Mets. What have you seen from the Mets? And how far off of your plans are you willing to verge off? Because honestly, I honestly believe that they thought there was a chance they'd be fairly good. They had enough hitters where you thought they could be somewhat good, hover right around 500 or so, which is kind of where they are now, but it's been on such a streak now and they look so good and so different and have catapulted themselves into this position. Like, and watching this lineup, I don't know how you don't feel different, because I think honestly, like I was saying, going into the year, even though they thought they might be good, I think he had plans to sell. Like, that would have been my guess, right? I think you sign Severino, obviously in the hopes that he's good, but you know it's a one-year piece, and if you ever get him good, that's an easy trade move, right? There's finally enough money for J.D. Martinez. He finally comes down to a level you're comfortable with. You buy him. The season goes awry. That's an easy trade piece. Like that. All these moves are short-term deals, not to contribute major payroll moving forward, but also to give you options at the trade deadline. That's why they made these moves. So I think ultimately his first plan was, we're going to try and compete. We're going to give our fans a little bit of fun, score some runs, and then we'll make moves that will impact this team for the future. Now he's got to be off that. He's got no choice. He's got to be off that. The selling is done. And I think the buying is even assured. They're going to try and help this team. Now the question is we're really getting close. Which, by the way, and other people, I know the Yankees could use a move, Mets could use a move. Stop demanding they do it now. You're being silly. People don't want to sell now. People are going to wait to make a decision whether they're buyers or sellers up until the final day. It's not like Brian Cashman sitting on a deal telling the other GMs, just wait, you know, wait till the 30th. There's nothing to be had right now. So stop. But as we get to these final days here, where do you view this team, and how much of it do you honestly believe as you're watching? Like for me, it's not only just the winning. It's the special vibe, and it's not even just the song or Grimace or anything like that. It is the amount of guys that you are getting career years from. That's what really jumps out at me. This is arguably the best Bader has played. This is arguably the best Iglesias has ever played. This is the best Taylor has ever played. I mean, the bottom of the lineup, despite losing Marte, the bottom of the lineup has all had career years. All of them. You're getting Lindor at the best he's ever been. Now, you could have career years from your best player, so that could happen next year too. But some of these guys, you don't know how it's going to work. Now, you hope to have better players eventually than these three, but they're having career years. It feels special. You add the song, you add the camaraderie, you add the nonsense of Grimace, you add all that stuff, and you talk about all these guys having tremendous years. It feels special. It feels unattainable in moving forward. You have no idea what these prospects are going to be, and right now it feels like, don't you try and really capitalize on it? Or do you just play it safe, buy small, and say, well, I'm not going to trade big prospects. I'm not going to trade guys I really believe in. I'm going to try and get the Maytons of the world. Someone who's just, you know, maybe slightly better than what we have. Someone who's had previous success in years prior, pitching not so great now. I can add him. Hope I find it. Hope the OMG camaraderie of the Mets suddenly works on everybody we bring in. Or you can go out there and attack and get guys you wouldn't assumed you would have come anywhere near when the season started. You wouldn't have thought there was a chance they'd buy a rental. You wouldn't have thought there was a chance they'd go after someone making significant money. You wouldn't have thought there would be a chance of taking long, controllable guys. Like, you wouldn't have expected that from the Mets. But now, as you watch Vientos, who everyone was throwing a party when they sent him down to the minors when J.D. Martinez came here, hitting bombs. You see Taylor hitting bombs. Like, maybe they're good enough to justify really going out there and adding people who impact the team, no matter their contract status, no matter how many years of control they have, and just saying, hey, he can really help us. And they're playing the perfect team. Because you could argue 2 years ago, the season came down to a series against Atlanta. And you can argue right now, the amount of pressure put on the GM to make impact moves will be decided by a series against Atlanta.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
We gotta wait for it. It's in my contract. Hold on.
There we go. 4:38, Mono here with you. So we were just thinking,
If you didn't hear the news, Thibodeau signed a 3-year contract extension with the New York Knicks. And we want to talk about coaches. The Knicks have fired a bunch of coaches. How'd that work out? It's been a long time since the Knicks gave a coach a contract extension, and obviously well-deserved. I mean, this team is built for him. I mean, it's just, it is a perfect fit. Does he have his flaws? Of course. Is there concerns? He runs guys into the ground. His MO, maybe a little bit. Certainly, I mean, they were dropping like flies in the playoffs, although I don't blame the injuries necessarily on him. Clearly, you know, not really, but... you know, he's yet to win the big one. There's some issues, but, I mean, he has done a remarkable job. He's made the postseason 3 out of 4 times, which sounds like a freaking miracle when you're talking about the Knicks. And well-deserved, and looking forward to this run with this team and hopefully, you know, one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference moving forward for a while, at least for the next 3 years with Tibbs. So congratulations, and, you know, for Knicks fans, everyone's ecstatic that he'll be back. But so we were thinking about it. When is the last coach to get a contract extension? You know, there have been things. There have been even rookies to get contract extensions with the Knicks. Doesn't come along a lot. For a long stretch, the Giants hadn't re-signed a draft pick in like forever. Every once in a while, there's with these franchises, there's this, you know, weird things that haven't happened in forever. And the last time the New York Knicks gave a coach a contract extension was 1999 and Jeff Van Gundy. I mean, that is, think about that. Think about how long since a coach has got 25 years to the day.
July 24th, 1999.
Wow. How about that? 25 years to the day was the last time a New York Knicks head coach got a contract extension. You wonder why I give the Yankees the benefit of the doubt on things. That's what we're dealing with. The Yankees went 25 years without a losing season. The Knicks went 25 years without giving a coach a second contract. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And hopefully moving forward with obviously Brunson and this coach looking for some success. 888-808-1019. 25 years to the day. Jeff Van Gundy rolling around on the floor. Those were the days. Those were some fun Knick teams, and hopefully we're getting back to it. We'll talk a little football. Obviously, camps opened up today. The Giants had a little bit of a health scare with their offensive lineman, Umanyora. So, Illuminari, I can't pronounce his name. Who cares? But it seems like he's okay, just a bruised rib. Aaron Rodgers spoke at Jets camp. We'll have a little bit more time tomorrow on a 5-hour midnight ride to get into all of that. But let's take your phone calls on the Subway Series, on the Yankees, on the Mets, on the disaster, at least from the Yankee standpoint, that was the embarrassment of being swept. The first time since 2013 that the Mets have swept the New York Yankees. And honestly, me and Fleegs went over it. Not just the Mets. These four games in this Subway Series was the most dominant either team has been towards the other. Yeah, the Yankees have had a couple sweeps of the season series, and one happened to be 6 games, so it was 2 more wins, but it wasn't like this. The games were all in contention. They were closer wins. The Mets had already sold off any piece they could have sold off. It was a one team going to the playoffs, the other team already done. These are two teams in contention, battling for playoff spots, both currently in playoff positions. And the Mets just absolutely kicked the crap out of the Yankees for 4 games. Embarrassed them like no other team has. And they've been embarrassed for a month straight by everybody they've played. And nobody has done it to them as severely and pointed out in an obvious nature exactly what a good lineup looks like and what a bad one looks like, as much as the New York Mets have. Dan in Lafayette. What's up, Dan?
Yo, C-Mac.
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Not bad, not bad. You're the best.
Thank you, buddy.
Look, man, the last 2 months, the Yankees, it hasn't been pretty. But I got to defend Boone a little bit here. Everyone's fired.
Defend Boone? What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Don't you still want to have any friends after this? What are you doing? you want to defend Boone? You keep that to yourself. Only idiots like me go out there and actually do it. Don't you don't have to do this, man. Don't do it.
I'm with you, man. I want to defend him. I mean,
all right.
Listen, the guy is playing with the guys he was dealt with. Mm-hmm. It's not Boone's fault that, you know, Judge ain't hitting.
Interesting first name.
LeMahieu's fobbling balls and Verdugo in the outfield doesn't know where he's going. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah, he's got to hold the guys a little bit accountable, but I'm sure he does behind the scenes. You know, I get it. But it's not ultimately his fault. Firing him isn't the answer. Getting the guys to do the job that they were paid to do is what we need to focus on.
No, I mean, listen, I agree with you. There's a devil's advocate to that, which I like to play usually, that sometimes you just need a spark, even if it's not the manager's fault. Even if it's not the manager's fault, sometimes you just need a shakeup. And I think that's a reasonable take right now. As much as I'll defend Boone, I think I agree with everything you just said. I don't think he's the problem. I don't think what he says in the postgame is the problem. I don't care. I don't think him defending his players to the nth degree is a problem. I don't think anything that Aaron Boone has done is a major problem. But here's the major problem. He's got no solutions. Your job as a manager is to have solutions. Even if you ain't broke it, you got to be able to fix it. And right now they are broken for 6 weeks, and he's got nothing in the tool belt to fix it. Not a damn thing. That's fair. Even for Boone, you know, apologists like myself, that's fair. It's his job to get them to play well. He hasn't. He just hasn't. They've been dreadful. Now, I agree that they are dreadful, and I don't know what you would expect. I heard Gio pick up on a caller I had a few days ago saying Aaron Judge needs to get in people's face. Like, what is that going to do? Like, if it were a laziness thing, if it were, like, I know there have been, right, with at least Gio, with at least Glaber, people think that there's a lazy, not Gio. Gio's not lazy at all. But I know with Glaber, there's a perceived laziness issue and, you know, lack of hustle. But, I mean, they're working, they're trying, they're just not good. Like, honestly, look how many opportunities, and again, oh, they're lifeless. They're not. I don't watch this team and think they're lifeless. How many opportunities did they get? How many times did they have second and third the other night? How many times did we just absolutely smack our heads as they can't come through with the big hit or score a runner from third? Like, lifeless teams do nothing. And there have been times this Yankee lineup has been lifeless. Last year, the Yankee lineup was lifeless. The team was lifeless. I really don't think this team has shown complete lifeless. I don't think they've shown no life. Couldn't think of another word there, so I just went with life. I don't think they've completely abandoned any, you know, effort. It's just they stink. They cannot come through with the big hit. They press. And that's part of a manager's job, too. He's got to push the buttons so that these guys don't press. He was asked about it. He said it's Major League Baseball. Well, it's Major League Managing. Like, we have to be fair. I don't think it's his fault. But eventually, if you don't have the solutions, they got to try to find someone who has the solutions. My biggest argument is this isn't, you know, they're in first place. They're in the first wild card. They're a game and a half out of first place, and they were the best team in baseball under his leadership for the first 2.5 months. And I don't think firing him changes anything. And the team is going to be completely different in a week. Like, firing him now, leading into a drastic change in who's going to be playing, doesn't make any sense to me. As ugly as last night was, and it was a doozy. But if it happens, how could I be mad? They've been that bad, and it's been that reasonable to move on.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:52, you know what time it is, rapid fire style. Phone calls until 5 o'clock in the warm show. The Presti's out there, hanging out in the newsroom in all week. Looking forward to hearing him and Al on the way home. 888-808-1019. Tony in Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning. How are you? I have to agree with you. I'm usually a Boone basher, but his hands are kind of tied, and I'm not even sure a spark and change of managers is going to help this team. George's hair would be on fire right now being swept by the Mets, and I don't even want to think about what would probably happen today. But do you really think the Yankees are going to be able to make enough trades and give up enough minor leaguers that they don't really want to get rid of to improve this team? And do you feel there's any way that this team actually falls out of the playoffs the way they're playing?
That's a lot. do I think that there can be enough trades to help this team? Not alone. I think there are enough trades where if they make the trades, Stanton and Dominguez come back and Volpe, Torres, and Verdugo start playing better, not all-star level, just better, then yes, I think there's a chance this, you know, that it could turn this team around. The same team won, was the first team to 50 wins. Like, that did just happen, and not 5 years ago.
You don't think that was the aberration, though? This team is playing like last year. You don't think that stretch of 50 games?
Well, no, but last year they were far.
Was the blip?
No, last year they were far worse. I mean, last year they were a different team. There was nobody on the team. They were playing Jake Bowers in the outfield. There was, you know,
but they didn't hit with runners in scoring position, and they basically played the same fielding, and they definitely ran the bases the same. There's a lot of replication to last year. I'm seeing right now.
Well, I mean, the base running hasn't been that bad this year. And I said they're not stealing bases. But other than that, we haven't seen as many mistakes. But the difference is the New York Yankees still lead baseball in runs scored. Like, I mean, last year they were a horrendous offensive team. For 50 games this year,
over the last 25 wins, games, where do they sit with runs scored over the last 25?
Not good, but
the first 50.
Now that's where I have a problem. I can't just forget the first 50. It's the same players. It's the same players.
But right now, they're playing themselves out of the playoffs. They're not improving. That's what I'm saying. They're going the opposite way.
Of course they're going the opposite way. I understand that. What I'm saying is they clearly need to make improvements at the trade deadline. What I'm saying is this team right now, minus Stanton, scored enough runs to give them such a cushion that they could be the worst team in baseball for 25 games and still lead the American League in runs scored.
Well, Stan's going to come back, and we may see him flailing and doing things for the first 20 games. We know what to expect.
That's definitely part of it. Part of it has
in the
past.
And I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Look, I don't know if all of that might happen and still not work. I understand that. But yes, the season is not lost. I'm frustrated as anyone. The season's not lost. They're not doomed. They might end up doomed. Right now, they're not. They're a game and a half out of first place. The Baltimore Orioles just lost the first two games of their three-game series against Miami. They've been almost as bad. In the last 10 games, they have been just as bad as the New York Yankees. They're dealing with injuries. The lineup has stopped scoring runs. They've been struggling, just like the New York Yankees. They are currently 4.5 games up in the first wild card. The season is not lost. Can they make enough trades? Not on their own. If Verdugo, Torres, Volpe, if all of them still suck to this level, no, there's not enough trades to overcome all of these guys being this bad. They're going to have to improve. Plus, Stanton's going to come back. We forget about John Birdie, but he's going to come back. He's a far better option than Jemai Jones. Like, there are people coming back. Jason Dominguez is going to come back and hopefully help this team and be close to what he was last year. It's not just the trade deadline. They have legitimately Stanton, Dominguez, and John Birdie coming back. Those are three additions. Plus, you got to go out there and get more players. But my only point about the run scored in the beginning part of the season, it's the same guys. If they were dealing with major injuries or like something happened, okay. It's not. It's the same guys. They have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge healthy, and this same group, the same team. And it's not just pitching. It's not, the starting pitching fell off. Yes, it did. They still lead the American League in run scored. They still lead the American League in run differential. And they've been as bad as the White Sox for a month. That's how good they were to start. And you can call it an aberration. You can call it whatever you want. It happened. And it happened a month ago. I'm not asking for players to do what they did 2 years ago. I'm not asking for DJ LeMahieu to suddenly start hitting. I'm not asking for some guy who hasn't been good in 2 or 3 years to suddenly awaken. I'm asking for guys who performed a month ago to perform again. That's it. They need slightly better performances from Volpe, Gleyber, who's already now hit back-to-back games with a home run. He's hitting over 300 in his last seven games. Hopefully he's turned the corner. Volpe, up until this series, he got hot against Tampa Bay. Hopefully he can get that going. And they got to figure out a way to get Verdugo going. And if not, here comes Jason Dominguez. Plus trade acquisitions, which there is no doubt Brian Cashman will make. He's going to make trades. There's no doubt. They might not be successful. The last time they were in this position in 2022 where they were a floundering team and yet were still in a playoff picture, he went out and made four trades. None of them really worked. And that's on the table too. But he's going to make moves. They're going to be a dramatically different looking team in a week. And we got to see what that team is going to look like. And, I mean, I think Aaron Boone is what he is. And he's right now, he's got no solutions, and we'll see what the attitude of this team is. But again, they were the best team in baseball for 2 months. They've been the worst team in baseball for a month. You want to tell me one's real and one's fake? Right now, I'll take the team that's in front of me. And the Mets are that team, as they were dominating in the series. And congratulations, Met fans. Your team actually has a lineup, and it's fun to watch. That's it for me. We'll catch you tomorrow for a 5-hour midnight ride starting at midnight. We'll do a lot more than just the Subway Series, obviously. Both teams prepping for a big series. And, of course, we'll get to some more football as, obviously, camps have arrived. We got the Jets talking, Giants dealing with a possible injury to a key offensive lineman. So a lot more to do. 5 hours to do it tomorrow morning. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs, appreciate it. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here until midnight.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.